Blog Talk Radio.
We are live on Fan for Racing with Catch Fence NASCAR Weekend Preview. This is Thursday, September the 3rd, and we've got a lot to talk about with some racing this weekend and some really fun kind of racing this weekend. Joining me for the conversation and to help us get the show started is our Fan for Racing writer, Steve Dando. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, I think that Chris is going to be able to call in at some point during the evening. I know he's on his way to Darlington Raceway, and if he's feeling up to it, I think he'll be able to call in. He's kind of been under the weather this week, and I know it's really important that he stay healthy, so...
Yeah.
We hope to hear from him, but if we don't, we continue to wish him the best, and we hope to talk to him again here sometime real soon. And I think tonight is going to be that night. Okay. Now, with that, let's go ahead and talk, Steve, a little bit about the Can-Am Pro Series. That's going to be racing at Meridian Speedway this weekend. They have not raced at that track since 1972. This is only the second time that the Can-Am Pro Series has been at this track. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see what happens with that kind of history going into the event.
It is. I know that's the Napa Auto Parts Idaho 208. I know that that's a fourth mile speedway, which the closest thing they've raced onto it this year is State Line. That's a similar track. And when I was doing my reading up on that, it looked like it's going to be an interesting race. I came up with three or four people that could be strong contenders for that race.
Okay, and we'll definitely talk about that. They're going to race 52 miles, 208 laps, which seems like a lot for the Can-Am Pro Series, 208 laps. But because it's only a quarter mile, as Steve mentioned, it explains why there's so many laps. And I think that... some fresh faces, let me kind of go through those names first, because these are drivers that are going to be kind of new to the series for this particular race. Trevor Christiani is going to be driving the number 38 car this weekend. It's a Chevrolet. He made his NASCAR Can-Am West debut and only started at Phoenix International Raceway in 2012, where he finished 25th. So this is going to be his second start in the Can-Am West, and we'll see what he does at the quarter-mile track here at Meridian. Another name to keep your eye on, a fresh face, Chris Fenton, is going to be in the number 68 car, and he'll be making his Can-Am Pro Series, his first start in the series after missing at Colorado. He won the 2011 Late Model Championship at Meridian Speedway, so he definitely could be one of the drivers to keep your eye on because he has a lot of experience at that track. Another driver, Clay Green, is going to be in the number 71 car for Green Racing, and this is going to be his first Can-Am Pro Series start. So that's going to be three drivers that are going to be fresh faces this weekend to keep your eye on. And like I say, I think Chris Fenton is definitely the top of those three to be a contender perhaps this weekend. You mentioned some other contenders for this weekend.
Yes, I'm a big fan of Ryan Partridge this weekend. He has one win with six top fives and nine top tens this year. And if he doesn't do it, I think it'll be Chris Eggleston, who's first in the points overall. He has two wins, and he's actually tied in the points lead. Oop.
That's true. He's tied with
yes.
Ryan.
Correct. And the only difference is that Ryan has one win and Chris has two. So.
Mm-hmm.
Should be
and go ahead.
I was just going to say that it should be a very interesting race at a quarter-mile speedway, like you said. That's very, very tight, and even the picture of the track looks relatively confined.
Yes, it's going to be fun. You're just behind Chris Eggleston and Ryan Partridge is Noah Gregson, just 6 points away. He's at 390 points. And Noah Gregson has held the points lead this season. He's ranked third in the point standings, even though he's 6 points out. He has one win, six top fives, and nine top tens. He's currently leading the Sunoco Rookie of the Year standings at 78 points, and he earned his first series win at Arizona Tucson Speedway. And at State Line this year, he finished runner-up after starting 13th. So Noah Gregson, I think, is definitely going to be one of the drivers to watch. He had the points lead. Ryan Partridge and Chris Eggleston kind of came back, and now they're tied for that points lead. I think Noah Gregson would like to have it back. So we'll have to see what he does this weekend. Another driver that I think we should keep an eye on is Grayson Raz. He's fourth in the point standings, and he's 6 points behind Noah Gregson. So that gives you a flavor for just how tight this points race is in the West.
I know.
Go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt there. I know that Eggleston has 396 and all the way to Raz is 384, which is really, that's only 12 points from top to fourth place. So it's definitely some tight racing in the K&N Pro Series West.
And you know what? There's only two races left after this race.
Yes.
So they are getting down to business with these races that they're racing now. And Meridian is sure to not disappoint this weekend. Grayson Raz has five top fives. He has nine top tens. He's the runner-up in the Rookie of the Year standings at 76 points. That's just 2 points behind Noah Gregson. So not only are they racing for points for a championship, there's a very tight race as far as the Rookie of the Year standings as well, with only 2 points between Grayson Raz and Noah Gregson. He earned his best career finish of a second at Tucson, and he finished third at State Line earlier this year. So Grayson Raz, I think, is another driver for fans to definitely keep their eye on this weekend.
Indeed, indeed.
Okay, any other drivers kind of pop out to you for fans to kind of keep an eye on?
No, I'm kind of glad you hit on Grayson. He was one of the ones I was kind of watching, so that means my research must be good. that was kind of it. Yeah, you hit the three biggies that I really think could be a factor in that race. Although I was kind of amazed looking at the point standings and reading up on it, just how close the series really is. And like you said, this is a track they haven't gone to since 1972, so it's going to be interesting.
It's definitely going to be interesting. And so a lot of these drivers, I do think that this fresh face that we talked about earlier, I think he's going to be a factor this weekend. And I'm going to just repeat his name again, Chris Fenton, only because he won the 2011 late model championship at that track. He's familiar with that track, where a lot of these other drivers don't have that same kind of familiarity. So I definitely think Chris Fenton is a name that you might not have heard of up to this point, but I think he may really do a lot on the track this weekend. Now, I know there's probably some differences between, you know, the late models and the stock cars that they're running in the K&N, but definitely something to keep your eye on this weekend.
And you said he is making his first K&N West Pro Series start? Is that correct?
I believe that is right. This will be his first start after missing at Colorado. Apparently, he tried to qualify at Colorado, and he missed that. And so now he's making a second attempt, and if he makes it, it'll be his first start.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's little doubt about him missing it this time.
Yeah, it sounds like he could be a dominant force at that race.
It's possible. We'll have to wait and see what happens with that. Another driver who's been doing really well, we've had her on the show before, Nicole Behar. She's a female driver in the series, has been doing really well. She's ranked ninth in the championship point standings with two top fives. She has eight top ten finishes. She, earlier this season, became the highest finishing female in the series after placing second at Irwindale Speedway, which is another short track. It's a similar track to Idaho State Line Speedway, where she also finished seventh this year. And she's also a member of the 2015-16 NASCAR Next Class. So I do think Nicole may be someone to keep your eye on this weekend as well.
Right. I would agree. Her name came up in my reading, and like you said, I knew she was a NASCAR Next driver and someone to definitely keep our eye on for the future.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you care to take a stab at who you think is going to be the winner this weekend?
At the West race,
you're
pinning me down to a just one driver here.
I
will go
down to one driver, Steve.
I think I'll go with Ryan Partridge. That's who I
Okay, I think that's a good pick. I do think Ryan Partridge is a very good pick, and he's done really well at Irwindale. He won the championship at Irwindale last season. This is a little bit different type of track, but it's not. He's used to this type of racing. Let me just put it that way. And
right.
So I think he might be a really good pick. I think I'm going to. It's really tough. I'm gonna go out on a limb here. I'm gonna say Noah Gregson is gonna be your winner this weekend. We'll have to wait and see what happens. It's going to be a fun race to watch. And just so you can mark your calendars now, because the NBC broadcast is going to be next Thursday, September the 10th, and they'll be showing this race at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time on NBC Sports Network. So mark your calendars to set your DVR for that date and time to watch this race. And for those of you who want to follow along this weekend, don't forget, you can follow along moment by moment at Home Tracks NASCAR, the NASCAR Home Track webpage. They have Race Central there run by Speed 51, and they will keep you up to date with what's happening throughout that race this weekend. And, again, I think it's going to be a lot of fun for fans to see what happens there.
Now, have you used that before, followed on Home Track?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
I have.
Is that a radio broadcast, or is it just kind of a minute-by-minute as what's going on?
It's a minute. It's I wouldn't say a minute-by-minute, but they give regular updates throughout the evening of what's happening on the track. You know what the running order is. You'll know when there's a caution flag thrown or a red flag thrown for, and why. But they will keep you up to date with all of the important happenings for that race.
Well, I think I'll be checking that out on Saturday then.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And you can go to hometracks.nascar.com to see that.
I'm actually looking at the webpage right now. So.
And all you do is you click the icon for this particular race at Meridian for the K&N West, and it'll take you right to that Race Central coverage. All right. Let's go ahead and see now and talk about NASCAR that's going to be out at Darlington Raceway this weekend. Now, what we do know is that the Truck Series will not be racing until Chicagoland. So they have an off weekend this weekend, and they will be back in action at Chicagoland Speedway on Friday, September the 18th. It'll be broadcast by Fox Sports 1, who will start their coverage at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, with a green flag expected sometime around 8:30 p.m. on September the 18th. So not this weekend, not next weekend, but the weekend of Chicagoland Speedway, and that will be Friday the 18th. Okay, now then, there are just a couple things I do want to talk about as it relates to the Camping World Truck Series. We talked a little bit about this on Monday night's show, but I want to kind of bring this up again because I've got some more information about this. There's a point standing shakeup, as we talked about. Eric Jones took over the lead in the championship point standings, he vaulted from third to first after winning at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park last Sunday. He holds only a 3-point lead over Matt Crafton, who is second in the point standings. And he finished in the runner-up spot, I guess, at that race. Tyler Reddick, the standings leader before that race, fell back to third, with a 19th place finish at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park, and he's 15 points behind Jones. There are 8 races left in this championship fight to play out to find out who's going to win, and trust me, this is going to go down to the wire.
Yeah,
as
definitely.
Tight as this race is.
That was a heck of a race as well. I mean, that was a good viewing race, very exciting, and I was kind of amazed, like you said, that Tyler Reddick dropped the third and Eric Jones took the points lead.
He sure did. And he actually, at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park, he actually continued the trend of NASCAR Next members winning at that track. Previously, Chase Elliott won the inaugural truck race there in 2013, and Ryan Blaney took the checkered flag there last year. So Eric Jones became the third NASCAR Next member to win that race. But here's some data that I think fans will find particularly interesting. For the greater part of the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series season, Eric Jones has dominated the loop stats. But he is not seeing the final results indicated by the peripheral numbers. So the loop data indicates that Jones would likely make a run at the top spot, and right now he is sitting in first. And here's why. If you look at his average running position, he has the highest average running position of 4.4. He has fastest laps run. He's got 468 laps that are the fastest. He's got 691 laps led. His driver rating is amazingly 122.8.
Wow.
He's a 19-year-old from Michigan, and he tops the charts in average start at 3.8, which is incredible, and an average finish of 6.2 at 19 years of age.
I know that they said during the Canadian Tire race, during the broadcast, that he's led something like 30% of the laps this year. So that's really kind of amazing, considering he hasn't, you know, it hasn't really turned out into results. He hasn't had many wins this season.
Yeah, it really is. But I think he's coming on strong. He came on strong at the same time last year and did quite well. Now, to put it in perspective, I want to talk about Matt Crafton, who's now second. We all know that Matt Crafton finished back-to-back championships. He's the first driver in the Camping World Truck Series to ever do that. He would love to be the first driver to go back to back to back and win three consecutive championships.
Yeah.
Frankly, I think the odds of that happening are kind of slim because nobody's ever done back to back, let alone three consecutive. But let's look at his numbers. He ranks second to Jones in all of those categories that we've talked about. His average running position is 6.3. His fastest laps, he has 345 fastest laps. He's led only 461. His driver rating is 114. His average start is 7.5, and his average finish is 6.6, which is tied with Tyler Reddick. So that's why I'm saying I think Erik Jones is on I think the momentum is on his side at this stage of the game. Now Matt Crafton could prove us wrong, but I give the odds to Erik Jones on this one.
It's funny. I was kind of debating this one in my head today that Crafton is kind of driving as well, if not better, than he's ever driven, but Erik Jones seems to have just that little bit of an edge, and it's going to be a exciting few races coming up here, and I think really the title fight is only between Jones and Crafton. I don't really see Tyler Reddick kind of being too big a factor, barring anything crazy happening.
Well, I'll tell you what, I tend to agree with you. I think it is going to be between Erik Jones and Matt Crafton. But I would not, I think it would be a mistake to count Tyler Reddick out at this stage of the game.
Tyler Reddick
has turned a lot of heads this season, and I think he's going to continue to do that in these next eight races. And the fact that he fell from first to third, he's going to be looking for some redemption over these next eight races. So it's going to be interesting to see how Tyler Reddick deals with the pressure with these eight remaining races.
That's right.
You know, I think I give Matt Crafton and Erik Jones the edge in that regard because Tyler Reddick does not have the experience that both of those drivers have. Matt Crafton, of course, has most experience, even over Erik Jones, but Erik Jones is outperforming him right now. So
it's amazing how composed both of those young guys really are. And how many of these up-and-coming drivers in all of the NASCAR series are really, I mean, I was watching Erik Jones' interview after his win at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, and I was just impressed. I mean, he seems like a 30-year-old guy, you know what I mean? And he's still a young kid, so I'm impressed. And NASCAR is going to have some exciting racing for generations to come.
I totally agree with you. Another gentleman that I want to kind of give a shout-out to is Daniel Hamrick. Daniel Hamrick has posted his fifth straight top 10 finish, and so he's kind of on a momentum run here as well. He drives the number 14 for NTS Motorsports. He placed fourth at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park on Sunday, tying his career best finish set at Bristol in May. And at Dover, at Bristol, and in May at Dover. Hamrick has posted five straight top 10 finishes, a streak which includes three top fives. He's registered a top 10 result in nine of his last 10 races.
Yeah.
Right now he's fifth in the point standings, 35 points behind Johnny Sauter, who's fourth, and 90 points behind Erik Jones, who's, as we said, in the lead. So definitely another driver to kind of keep your eye on as these next eight races take place for the Camping World Truck Series.
It's good to see him come on strong, and it's also good to see NTS get a little acclaim. I know they're kind of they're a solid team that really doesn't get talked about very much just because they're not, you know, in the top three consistently, but they are definitely a solid team, and they've done a lot of good work in developing these young drivers.
They absolutely have, and I agree with you. It's great to see Daniel doing so well with that organization, MTS Motorsports. You Well, there's no race this weekend, so we won't pick a race winner in the Camping World Truck Series. We'll just tell fans to stay tuned for that Chicagoland race on September the 18th, because it is going to be exciting for Friday, for that Friday night race. Okay, I think we are ready to move on to the Xfinity Series that is racing at Darlington Raceway this weekend. Darlington, this is really a huge, huge weekend at Darlington. Your traditional date for Darlington to race is Labor Day weekend. NASCAR took that date away from them. This race was at Atlanta last year, and NASCAR has returned back to Darlington for this traditional race. And I'll tell you what, not only is our, we'll talk about all the retro paint schemes that are going to be in the Sprint Cup Series, but there's even going to be some retro paint schemes in the Xfinity Series as well.
Should be a very exciting race. I think it's a good thing that NASCAR moved this back to the traditional Labor Day weekend for the Southern 500. I know a lot of Southerners kind of felt bad when it was changed to a spring race. I'm glad to see it going back, and I think it's definitely an event I would like to go to at some point.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely a track that you want to put on your bucket list as far as tracks to go to at some point. You know, plan a vacation around it for the Labor Day weekend. And, you know, even NBC is all excited about the retro, you know, we're going back to Darlington's traditional race weekend of Labor Day. There's a lot of excitement leading up to this race, including
I've heard even they are going to do some retro graphics as well for the broadcast. So that should be very interesting as well.
Yes, some of the drivers are going to be dressed in some 1970s retro costuming, if you will. I don't know what to call it, but I think it's going to be fun. So they are definitely getting into the whole retro spirit this weekend on NBC. So you do not want to miss the broadcast this weekend. Ken Squire, Ned Jarrett, Dale Jarrett are going to take over calling the race at some point. And I think that's going to be fun, too, especially for those fans who remember listening to Ken Squire and Ned Jarrett call the races from years gone by.
Yes, indeed.
Let's talk about some of the South Carolina drivers, because Darlington is in South Carolina. Do you believe there are a total of 133 drivers that have competed in the NASCAR National Series that are from, those 133 drivers are from South Carolina?
And that's in all three series?
Yes.
Okay.
I
could say I could believe that, although that is a ton of them, being that that's kind of the, you know, that's the NASCAR belt, kind of, the cradle of NASCAR. That's a ton of drivers, though. Do you know how many do you know how many North Carolina had in comparison?
I don't have that stat, no.
Wow.
I do not have that stat, but I can tell you that out of the 133 drivers that are from South Carolina that have competed in NASCAR's top series, 27 have competed in the Xfinity Series at that level. But only four of those 27 have won from the Xfinity Series. And those drivers include Larry Pearson, who has 15 wins, Jason Keller, a lot of fans will know that name. He has done a lot at this level of racing in NASCAR. He has 10 wins at that track. Butch Lindley has 6 wins at that track, Darlington Raceway. And NASCAR Hall of Famer David Pearson has a win at that track. All four of those drivers are from South Carolina. So Larry Pearson Of the four, only Larry Pearson has won at Darlington. I guess they've all won in South Carolina, but
yeah,
only one has won at Darlington,
at Darlington
specifically in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, and that's Larry Pearson in 1995.
That's some impressive stats. I'm pretty impressed with that. That's kind of amazing.
Yes. It really is amazing. Some more stats about the series in South Carolina. The Xfinity Series has run 69 races among three tracks in Darlington, including Darlington Raceway 54, Darlington Raceway 54, Ramby Racetrack 13, and Greenville Pickens Speedway. They've run two. So in the state of... The first NASCAR Xfinity Series race in South Carolina was at Darlington Raceway in 1982. That's how far back this goes. And the event was won by Jeff Bodine in a Pontiac with a speed at 129.018 miles per hour. So,
very cool.
Yeah, some really cool info there, especially in light of the whole retro paint scheme theme.
Yes, and I know that Darlington itself is the oldest track in NASCAR, built between 1949 and 1950, and it was the first asphalt NASCAR track to ever be run, and it was also hosted the first 500-miler, which is the Southern 500. So there's definitely a lot of history there.
There really is, and that's why this is so cool, what NASCAR and all of the drivers and teams are doing with the retro paint schemes. Now, there are some Sprint Cup drivers that will be running in this weekend's race. It's the VFW Sports Clips Help a Hero 200, and those Sprint Cup drivers include Denny Hamlin, Joey Logano, Kyle Larson, Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, and last week's Road America winner, Paul Menard. So that race, by the way, let me just give you the details there again, is going to be at Darlington Raceway Saturday, September the 5th. It will be broadcast on NBC. It's going to be broadcast on NBC starting at 3 p.m. Eastern Time with a green flag sometime around 3:30. It is a 200.8-mile race, and they expect to run 147 laps. So you can mark your weekend calendar for this particular race. Of those Sprint Cup drivers that I just mentioned, any of them that you see doing well at this track, which one do you see doing the best?
Probably out of the ones you named, I would go with Kevin Harvick. That I think would be the safest bet out of the guys you named there. Although a few of them really could factor. But again, I think I'd stick with Kevin Harvick out of that group.
Now, usually when we go with a race winner, we try to pick an Xfinity Series driver because
right.
We know that the Sprint Cup guys probably have a little bit of an edge over them,
right.
But we'd like to see those Xfinity Series drivers win.
Agreed.
There's 10 to go in the Xfinity Series races for this season, so this is their count, their 10 races to go countdown, starting with Darlington. Ty Dillon is still in the championship hunt, and despite dropping to third in the standings following his seventh consecutive top 10 finish, he's right in the thick of the hunt with these next 10 races. Dillon is 19 points behind the standings leader, which we know is Chris Buescher, and he's just 3 points behind second-place Chase Elliott. So this is another points battle that is going to be pretty tight and really fun to watch. This will be Dillon's third visit to Darlington Raceway in his two previous starts, he had one top 10 finish and an average finish of 11.5 at this 1.37-mile track.
When you asked me earlier who my pick for the winner is for this race, I would go with Chase Elliott. And he's kind of – he, I think, really has momentum, and I think it should be an interesting race between the top four or five. The points are so close.
I agree. He's certainly one of the championship contenders.
Definitely.
A lot of people think that maybe Dylan's 19-point deficit might be more than he can overcome in these
right.
next 10 races. But keep in mind that Ricky Stenhouse Jr. was 19 points back in the standings after the 23rd race of the season in 2012, and he came back to win the title that year. So definitely keep your eye on Ty Dillon for the remainder of the season. As far as the Rookie of the Year update, Wallace actually gained some points after Road America. He's tied with his best finish of the season at fifth at Road America, and he closed the gap between him and Daniel Suarez to just 20 points. Wallace has posted two top fives and nine top tens with an average finish of 12.3 in 2015. And this is for both Wallace and Suarez, they have never raced at Darlington Raceway before. So this will be their first visit to this particular track. So that's going to be interesting to watch this weekend.
Definitely, definitely. Huge learning curve there, being that it's an oddly shaped track. Definitely be getting some Darlington stripes, no doubt.
Yeah, the Lady in Black is known for that. Let's talk about Chris Buescher, who is looking to get his ship back on track here late in the season. For the third consecutive race, Chris Buescher's point lead has dwindled. He now holds just a 16-point lead over second-place Chase Elliott, which you had talked about earlier, and he's 19 points over Ty Dillon, which we also talked about earlier. And he really needs some strong runs here over these next 10 races. If we look at his starts and finishes at Darlington, let's see, he started last season. He started sixth and ran in the top 10 for the first 60 laps until he was caught in an accident that left him with a 34th place finish. So, you know, we can't really tell exactly what he's going to do. He ran well, but it did not work out well for him last
right.
season at Darlington Raceway. So he definitely wants to rebound from that. He's finished outside the top 15 in five races, excluding Darlington, as some of those tracks would include Bristol, Texas, Road America, Kentucky, and Watkins Glen. And he's posted a positive place differential, bettering his finish in comparison to last year's average by 14.6 positions. So he's doing better than last year, without a doubt. But
I was
going to
say, it sounds like he's over his kind of worst tracks are kind of behind him now. At least that's what it sounds from the statistics you just threw out there.
Right. And the thing is that he's got 10 races to keep his lead and to maybe put more distance between him and the second and third place finishers here, third place point standing contenders.
Right.
But the defending winner of this race is Chase Elliott.
Yes, that's why I chose him. I went for a safe bet, and he's pretty high up in the points, and he seems to kind of, while Buescher doesn't have momentum over the last few races, Chase seems to have picked it up. So I kind of think they're going in a positive direction, and Ty Dillon will definitely be on his heels, and we'll see what happens.
Absolutely. It was career-defining, as it was his second consecutive win of his 2014 rookie season. He outraced some of the best in the business that day. He passed veteran Elliott Sadler on the final lap, and the win actually confirmed Elliott's driving prowess and set the course for what resulted in a championship year for the 19-year-old driver. So definitely Chase Elliott is got to be considered one of the favorites for this weekend, as you've already pointed out. And we expect him to really give Buescher a run for his money in these next five races. His average finish at the next five tracks, Darlington, Richmond, Chicago, Kentucky, and Dover, is 5.3 to Buescher's 12.
Wow.
Okay, for an average finish. Just to give you an idea, Chase Elliott certainly looks as though he has an edge over Buescher at this point. But keeping in mind that Buescher is having a better season this year over last year.
True. It's going to lead to a lot of exciting racing here in the latter half of the season. These last races are going to be pretty intense because you have some guys kind of gaining momentum and kind of he's stumbled a little bit, and you kind of have everybody fighting to you know, move one, two, three spots up. So it'll be intense.
It's going to be intense, trust me.
Yeah.
I think it's just going to get that much more exciting as the season continues on. Now, we talked about the retro paint schemes being also in the Xfinity Series, and there are several drivers who have opted to do that. One, of course, is Team Penske's number 22 Ford team, and who happens to be leading the car owner standings right now by 86 points to the nearest competitor. And they are doing an ode to the famed Hertz Shelby GT3550H rent-a-racer program from the 1960s and will feature a black scheme with gold racing stripes. So that should be really fun to see.
Very cool. Very cool.
Joey
Logano is going to
be in the car. And he says he's really excited. That's the only one that they talk about here in my notes, but it wouldn't surprise me to see a few others.
That was my next question, and I didn't, kind of in my studying up, I didn't come across any of the Xfinity guys running retro paint schemes, but that definitely sounds cool. I'm looking forward to seeing all the retro paint schemes, to be honest.
Yes, in fact, I'm working on putting something together on that as we speak, and I hope to have that out by tomorrow, and so fans can see kind of the originating, you know, the inspiration for all of these retro paint schemes that they'll be seeing this weekend, and you can look for that hopefully sometime early tomorrow. Now then. This is also the final round for the Dash for Cash program, and what's kind of cool about that this particular weekend is that for each of the drivers that are participating, including Daniel Suarez, Brian Scott, and Ty Dillon, as well as Chase Elliott, they are partnered with a fan. And if they win the $100,000 at Darlington, the fan will also win $100,000. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is really cool. Hopefully one of them does it and some lucky fan gets $100,000. So
that would be definitely cool. Chase Elliott, the defending race winner, is certainly a part of that Dash for Cash. He's still looking for his first victory of this season. Darlington could be that this weekend. Scott has made six series starts at Darlington. He's posted one top 10 and has an average finish of 17.7. His best finish at Darlington in the Xfinity Series was in 2012 when he finished seventh. Just to kind of put that in perspective. Another contender, we mentioned Ty Dillon. He's made two starts at Darlington. His best finish was 10th last year. And Suarez has never raced at Darlington before, which we mentioned earlier. So it's going to be interesting to see what he does here. He's continued to impress us throughout the season at tracks where he's never raced before. So that's going to be pretty cool. I want to do a shout-out to some of these fans that are going to be have a chance to win the $100,000. There's Desiree Amadeo from Lunenburg, Massachusetts, Kurt Kolstad from Alexandra, Minnesota, Catherine Sanders is from New Braunfels, and she's in Texas, and Daniel Clifford is from Hopalge, New York. So one of those four fans could walk away this weekend with $100,000. So the Dash for Cash ends at Darlington Raceway this weekend.
And you said Brian Scott was one of the drivers as well?
Yes.
He's been doing well lately, and I believe he was second at Road America.
Yeah, I believe he was.
Yes, so
really
that
well
fan might have a fairly decent shot as well of potentially making $100,000, kind of depending on how things play out.
Yeah, like we mentioned, Ty Dillon's going to be right in the mix here as well as
yep.
Daniel Suarez, even though he's never raced here before. He's just been so impressive throughout this season and how well he has done at tracks that he's never raced at before. So,
Darlington
seems.
Sorry to interrupt. I was going to say Darlington seems like one of those tracks that you kind of either really get or you don't. So it's probably, you know, either Suarez will catch on really quickly or it might be a long night. So.
Exactly.
Although I have a feeling he seems like one of the guys that is likely to catch on pretty quickly. So.
He is really a quick study. He is a student of what he's doing as he comes into the Xfinity Series this season, and I think it shows in his performance on the track. And you see him, if you watch Daniel Suarez during the race, you'll see him, learning at practice.
Yes.
He's doing things that are learning experiences for him on the track. And
I
he
actually,
does that during the practice sessions. He does that during the race as well.
I noticed him doing that at Mid-Ohio as well as watching other practices this year, that he would kind of duck behind other drivers that were good at whatever track
yeah.
he was at and kind of follow their line and see what they do and try to mimic it, which seems like a really brilliant way to learn.
Absolutely, and he's not afraid to do that, and I give him a lot of kudos for doing that as well. So we are at that point, Steve. Who's the one driver? I know you've already kind of said it, but let's go ahead and say it again.
Well,
your
like I said, I mean,
win.
I'm sticking with Chase Elliott. I think he has the momentum. He's up there in the championship fight, and he was last year's winner, so it seems like an easy choice there.
Yeah, I agree. I think Chase Elliott has a chance to gain on the points again with Chris Buescher. I know Chris Buescher is going to be doing everything he possibly can. He
yeah.
can run well at this track. So barring any unfortunate incidences this weekend, I think it's going to be an interesting battle between those two drivers in particular
yeah.
when it comes to the point standings. So definitely fans are going to want to watch this race. All right, we are ready to move on to the Sprint Cup Series. With that, let me give you the particulars of this particular race. It will be run on Sunday, September the 6th, It will be broadcast on NBC, and they're saying that the broadcast start time is 7 p.m. The time of the race is 7 p.m. Usually there's about a half hour difference there, so we'll have to kind of wait and see what happens. But the distance is 501.3 miles. They will run 367 laps, and that's for the Bojangles Southern 500.
That's a lot of laps in a place that's likely to be hot and humid, and I know it definitely is a hard course to drive. It kind of puts a beating on those drivers.
It really does. And, you know, one of the things that fans need to be aware of is that we are, even though we've got the throwback schemes and everything, NASCAR has a different aero package that they are running for this particular race. And so they're doing the low downforce aerodynamic package that they ran at Kentucky Speedway. Yeah. Is also going to be run here at Darlington Raceway this weekend. And how this works out could help determine the package that NASCAR will run for 2016.
Yes.
I know that the high drag package that they ran at Indianapolis and Michigan did not get good reviews, but the package, this low downforce package that they ran at Kentucky got high marks.
Yes.
The drivers loved the package, and they're going to be running that package now at Darlington Raceway, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens this weekend with that package at Darlington.
Yes, it will. I mean, that really could, like you said, I mean, it could dictate the 2016 Sprint Cup rules. And I know from what I was reading, a lot of engineers had really positive things to say about that, and it could be potentially really exciting for you know, this race as well as next season.
Absolutely. So fans will definitely want to tune in for that. I'm not going to get into all the different paint schemes just now. Let's save it for the end, that I might get into some of these paint schemes, but I really want to get into some of the other details right now. There's only two races before the chase begins at Chicagoland Speedway in September. And we know that there are 11 drivers who have at least one win. They're virtually locked in, as long as they start at Darlington and they start at Richmond, they are locked in to the chase as one of the 16 drivers. And we've mentioned these drivers several times, but I'm going to mention them again. Jimmy Johnson, Kyle Busch, Matt Kenseth, Kevin Harvick, Joey Logano, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Kurt Busch, Martin Truex Jr., Brad Keselowski, Denny Hamlin, and Carl Edwards. That's the 11 drivers that are locked in. The five remaining drivers could get bumped if a driver who is 17th and back wins this weekend. Those drivers that really need to do well this weekend, Jamie McMurray, Ryan Newman, Paul Menard, Jeff Gordon, and Clint Bowyer. Clint Bowyer is the 16th driver. He's 35 points up over the 17th place driver. So, you know, that's going to be interesting. Now, winless drivers who have won at Darlington in the past but have yet to earn a chase berth this season include Jeff Gordon and Greg Biffle. Greg Biffle is outside the top 16. Jeff Gordon is at 15th. So, you know, if Greg Biffle wins, he's going to knock Bowyer out.
Yes.
Okay. So that's something for fans to kind of keep in mind. Winless drivers who have won at Richmond in the past have yet to earn a chase berth include Gordon, Bowyer, Newman, and Tony Stewart. Now, if Tony Stewart wins, he's going to knock out Clint Bowyer. And depending on what happens at Darlington Raceway, there's an outside chance he could knock out Jeff Gordon.
Yes.
More likely than not, it would be Clint Bowyer.
Right. Do you see anybody being knocked out of those potential drivers?
You know, it's so hard to say. If I know a lot of fans would love to see Tony, if I can get it out of my mouth, would love to see Tony Stewart get a win before the
yes.
season ends and get a place in the chase. So I think of those two, Tony Stewart would be the favorite to do that at Darlington Raceway. And, we'll have to see how he does. He does seem to be gaining some momentum. So we just kind of have to wait and see, I guess, what he does at Darlington this weekend.
Agreed. He would be really the main one I could see potentially upsetting that, or potentially even Jeff Gordon, who is another one which fans would love to see, you know, make the chase.
Okay. Yes, Jeff Gordon is definitely another favorite to be in the chase this season. Poor Jeff Gordon, it just has not gone according to plan for his final season. And I know he'd love to turn that around before he ends it at Homestead, Miami.
Yes.
All right. Just looking at some other notes here real quick. Okay. Let's go ahead and move on to... Elliot. To make his final Sprint Cup start. So he's doing double duty this weekend. Chase Elliott is also competing in his fifth and last Sprint Cup Series race on Sunday. We've spent quite a bit of time talking about the fact that he's the defending Xfinity Series winner at Darlington. So he's figured something out about this particular track. I think it's a great track for him to finish up his Sprint Cup Series season this season. And we all know he's taking over for Jeff Gordon next season in the number 24 car.
Right.
He raced at Martinsville, where he finished 38th. He finished 18th at Charlotte, 16th at Richmond, and 18th at Indianapolis, which isn't all that bad for somebody who's not driven. Those are the only four races he's driven in the Sprint Cup Series.
That's fairly solid. I mean, that's pretty impressive, actually. I mean, that's not bad at all. Although, mind you, he's been in fairly good equipment, too, but that's still pretty good.
Absolutely. And keep in mind, Elliott never raced at Darlington before last year. And he, you know, without ever having raced on that track before, he walked away with the win. So that's impressive as well for Chase Elliott. So just some little tidbits there. Kevin Harvick is the defending race winner in the Sprint Cup Series. And you mentioned him as your favorite pick for the Sprint Cup drivers in the Xfinity Series. He is the defending winner in the Sprint Cup Series. He would love, he's looking forward to getting back on the track at Darlington Raceway. He's looking to improve upon his run of 8 top 2 finishes in 20 starts since his last victory, which was March 15th this year at Phoenix. Hard to believe that Harvick has not won since March, but he has a ton, 8 top 2 finishes.
I was going to say, he seems to play the bridesmaid quite frequently, quite a number
he
of
sure
being
does.
Number 2.
Now, his stats at Darlington include 1 win, 4 top 5s, 7 top 10s, and 1 Coors Light pole. His Darlington victory last year came from the pole position. So definitely keep your eye on what happens in qualifying, because track position is everything at Darlington. So definitely want to keep an eye on that. Although he only has 2 wins, he has the most runner-ups of 10 Since Bobby Allison's in 1972, he had a total of 12 top two finishes. So, you know, even if he finishes second, he's on track to be making history perhaps this year. He ranks first in top fives. He has 17. Top tens, he has 21. Average finish at 7.5 and average running position of 7.5. He has 923 fastest laps. He's led 1,406 laps, and his driver rating is at 119.7. So that's pretty impressive for Kevin Harvick. And, gosh, you got to think of him as a championship contender as he is defending his title as the champion from last season.
Definitely. And he also only has one DNF this year, which is also another important statistic. But I agree with you. I really see him being up there and you know, fighting for the cup in the final round. And I think it's quite possible he might go back to back championships. So
yes, and we'll have to kind of see how that plays out. A lot of times these drivers, I know some people are saying Jimmy Johnson's in a slump of sorts. I think that's pretty typical of Jimmy Johnson for this time of the year. He tends to go into a slump. Don't count him out. He's going to start this chase, I think, really strong, and definitely something to keep your eye on. But there's some drivers here that are on the outside looking in, and I want to discuss those drivers real quick here before we leave the Sprint Cup Series. And those drivers include Casey Kane. He's earned 4 Coors Light Pole Awards at Darlington, but he's never won at that track. So that's kind of an interesting stat there. In 12 Darlington starts, he has 3 top fives, he has 4 top tens, with a high finish of 3rd in 2005. But keep in mind that Kane is accustomed, if you will, to the pressure of making the chase. He was winless heading into Atlanta. Remember we mentioned earlier that this race was in Atlanta last season. And he actually took the checkered flag at Atlanta to secure his spot in the chase.
That's
Can
right.
he do it at Darlington, a track he's never won at in 12 starts? I guess we're going to have to tune in and find out.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, what you said statistically sounds like it's in the realm of reality, but and he does seem to be one of those drivers that does kind of flourish under those kind of pressure situations. It seems like every so often he just kind of has a random win that seems to come out of nowhere.
Yeah, and the thing that's interesting is that there seems to be an air of confidence with Casey Kane. He seems pretty confident that he's going to win one of these next two races and put himself in the chase. And if he does that, keep in mind, it could knock one of those other 5 drivers that we were talking about out of the chase, with Clint Bowyer being the most vulnerable, in the most vulnerable spot for that. Another driver, Kyle Larson, he's been in a sophomore slump this season, but he is still acclaimed to be one of the top young drivers coming into this level. He has just 1 top 5 and 6 top 10 finishes this season after he won the Rookie of the Year last season, where he saw 8 top 5s and 17 top 10s. In his 1 start at Darlington Raceway last season, Larson did finish 8th. So if he can do better than that this season, it could bode well for him.
Right.
He could gain some points.
Definitely.
Okay, Austin Dillon. He finished 11th in his first ever race at Darlington last year. He has shown some speed recently. We talked about that a little bit earlier. The 2013 series champion in the Xfinity Series challenged for his first NASCAR Sprint Cup Series win at Michigan just 3 weeks ago. He led 19 laps on his way to his 4th place finish there. So he's showing some signs of gaining some strength as we lead into these last two
yes.
races before the chase begins.
And he's even moved up a position in the points as well.
Absolutely. So Austin Dillon may be another driver to look out for. We mentioned Greg Biffle as being a driver who's previously won at Darlington. He's had a horrible season, though. He has just 3 top 10 finishes. He has 19 career victories, including 2 wins at Darlington. Biffle owns the 5th best driver rating at that track, and his driver rating at the track is 105.7. So Greg Biffle could, I'm not seeing it from him this season, but if for some reason that those 2 wins give him some confidence going into
right.
this race and he pulls off that win, he could spoil it for some of these other drivers. So we'll have to see what Greg Biffle does this year.
I'm kind of with you. I don't really see that happening, but, I mean, it's a crazy track, and his statistics sound pretty good. So, you know, anything can happen, and that's part of what makes the sport so exciting.
Absolutely. Eric Almirola was one of the drivers that made the chase last year. He won at Daytona last year, and that's how he qualified to be in the chase. In 3 career starts at Darlington, Almirola's best finish is 19th. On the season, he has just 1 top 10, and that's at Dover. So his chances for making the chase seem to be on the outside of the realm of possibility.
Right.
But like you say, you never know what can happen.
Agreed. It's going to be an exciting second half of the season, and I'm definitely looking forward to the chase starting in Chicagoland.
Absolutely, without a doubt. Let me just talk about Gordon real quick here, because Gordon would love to win either at Darlington or Richmond. He wants to get that win to get into the chase. He does not want to go into the chase on points, although he'll do that if it comes down to that. He would prefer to go into the chase with a win. But let me just give you some info here on Gordon real quick. He has the active record of 7 wins at Darlington. Gordon ranks 3rd on the all-time Darlington's win list behind NASCAR Hall of Famers David Pearson, who has 10, Dale Earnhardt, who has 9, and he is the active driver with the next highest total. The next driver with the next highest total is Jimmy Johnson, his teammate, who only has 3 wins at that track. So that's kind of an interesting stat. Jeff Gordon is currently 15th. On the chase grid, he's 52 points above the cutoff line this season. He has 3 top 5s, he has 12 top 10s, and 3 pole awards for the season. So can he do it? If not at the Lady in Black, can he do it at Richmond next weekend? And I guess we'll all have to tune in to find out what Gordon's going to do.
As a fan, I'm kind of rooting for him because I'd like to see him do well, you know, before he hangs up his helmet. And I think there's a lot of NASCAR fans that would share in that feeling, just, you know, would like to see him make the chase and potentially even be a championship contender.
Absolutely. And you know, Gordon's been known to come down to the wire and come up with a win as well. So,
right.
You know, we'll have to see. You know, I think it would be a sentimental, a very emotional win if Gordon were to win at Darlington or Richmond International
Definitely.
Raceway as well. I agree with you. I think a lot of fans would like to see him get into the chase with a win under his belt. So we're down to who do you think is going to win this weekend?
You named a couple of the names that I like. I also like, you know, like I said, Kevin Harvick as the Sprint Cup winner. I like Kyle Busch. I think either him or Jimmy Johnson could potentially be a spoiler. So that's. But I think I would go probably with Kevin Harvick to win.
Okay, I think that's a good pick. And joining us now is our co-host, Chris Knight. Welcome back to the show, Chris. We're so happy to hear from you.
Yeah, thanks. I enjoyed listening to you guys while I was on hold.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry that I missed you. I've kind of been going between pages here, and I keep checking back, and I didn't see you until now, so I apologize for that.
All good. All good. I'm just glad to be feeling better and be back with you guys on for a little bit tonight.
Well, we are really glad that you are feeling better there, buddy.
Yeah, I think what you guys were talking about was strictly on point. And I have to agree with Steve. Kevin Harvick, I think, is a monumental favorite going into this weekend. But I just wonder if he's going to have to suffer, if someone else is going to try to sneak up there and settle for the win and make him a bridesmaid for the 11th time in 2015. It's amazing to think that Kevin Harvick has been a bridesmaid 11 times or 10 times so far in 2015.
Times.
So far in 2015. Yeah. And hasn't won since March, which is even more mind-boggling, I think.
It is mind-boggling. We were talking about that earlier. It really is mind-boggling. Go ahead, Steve.
I was going to say, though, although if, being consistent like that gets him the championship, I'm sure him and Stuart Haas Racing wouldn't have any problem with that. But, you know, everybody likes to go for the win and you know, get that, get some actual W's instead of just racing for points.
Chris, I wanted to get your thoughts on, what do you think the chances are that Clint Bowyer could get bumped out over the next two races?
I think it's a good question. It's a fair question. The thing that I like that's working for Clint Bowyer is that 15 team, despite knowing what's going to come in November, and I don't know if we want to talk a little bit about that, of the reports that came out this week. But that 15 team, and actually the 55 team, I think you can throw in there as a mix. They've actually improved their performance a little bit here over the last couple of weeks. So I see Clint not making it through to the chase. The only way I see that happening is if he really has a bad weekend this weekend at Darlington and can't recover at Richmond. Let's just say he has a so-so performance, but someone like Casey Kane or Kyle Larson, Tony Stewart for that matter, if those guys are able to win.
I agree with you. I think that's a definite possibility, any one of those three guys. And here's the thing that, and we'll go ahead and talk about the Michael Waltrip news this week. He's kind of announced that he's possibly, the next step is to lay off over 200 employees. And if that happens, will that affect the performance that we've seen recently between the 55 car and the 15 car in particular? Will that kill their momentum? Chris, do you want to kind of talk a little bit to that?
Well, here's my thoughts on that is they've already kind of known what the future holds at MWR, and I think their mentality is if they're going to go down, they're going to go down fighting, and they're going to go down on top. I think the goal is to get Michael Waltrip another win before season's end. And we have some tracks where I think that Clint Bowyer can do it. And who knows, maybe David Reagan can do it. But, the North Carolina Unemployment Agency and the government was notified today, or this week rather, that over 200, I think it's close to 217 employees will lose their job come November 1st. And I think that November 1st is a little bit misleading because the season's not over with until before Thanksgiving, week of Thanksgiving,
right,
week before Thanksgiving. So I think that's a little bit misleading. But still, when you think of 200 people, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
It is indeed. Steve, anything you comments on your end there?
Indeed. I'd like to see them get a win for MWR, you know, before they kind of go under. But I don't know how realistic that is. And, I mean, it's kind of hate to see the whole operation shutting down, but it kind of is what it is. It sounds like the team is taking it as best they can and trying to keep their cars up front.
Well, I will say that these next two tracks are tracks that Clint Boyer can do well at. And it's going to be interesting to see if he can step up his game and pull off a win to secure his spot in the chase. And at the very least, to hang on to that top 16 spot that he currently holds and hold off anybody that could bump him out. It's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure to going into these next two races on that Michael Waltrip Racing organization.
I think it's a lot of pressure for everybody, and I think it's a pressure for the crew chiefs as well. I mean, they're fighting for you think of the team as a whole. Everybody's looking for a job and fighting for a job. And I think those crew chiefs are particularly high on that list, specifically because they want to be able to prove that they can put a car together that can put their drivers in victory lane.
Exactly. I mean, these guys are looking for jobs for next season, too. So they want to do as well as they can possibly do in their quest for their next ride for the 2016 season. Okay, and that includes
not just the drivers, but it includes,
like you say, the crew chiefs and all the crew members.
Yeah, and I think I can add a little to that, Sharon. I think my gut feeling and my sources tell me that Clint will try to take as many of the people that he has working on his team with him I honestly believe that Clint Boyer will end up at H. Scott Motorsports in the third car. So, and I think it's interesting to think that H. Scott Motorsports could consider moving to North Carolina. But you also have to hear the rumors that made his Furniture Row interested in starting a second team. And if they do, you have to think about those options as well, because even though it's Denver, North Carolina, they still pay pretty good to relocate and whatnot. So
Denver,
I think,
North Carolina?
I'm sorry, from North Carolina to Denver.
Okay.
That's pretty good. That's a pretty big move in itself, but you have to think this racing circle, I think you'll see somebody come in and help minimize that loss.
Right.
You know, 217 employees, that's a lot of employees. That's top to bottom. That's shop guys, management-wise. That's
administrative support. That's
everything. Administrative, PR, marketing, all that stuff. But I expect, Clint Boyer has a group, as far as his, I expect his PR team to follow him, his PR person knows Clint Boyer and has worked with Clint Boyer. So I expect, that hole to be a combination. And I expect the spotter says with Clint Boyer to stay with Clint Boyer too. But I think the whole case that we're missing in this, Sharon, is Aaron's. If Aaron's is committed as they say they are and that they're going to remain in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, does Aaron's bring enough financial stability to the table where another team can take it on and make up that deficit of the second car team at Michael Waltrip Racing? And, let's just say, another independent team, maybe someone like Tommy Baldwin Racing or even somebody like BK Racing or someone along those lines, another team that has the capabilities of having another program, maybe even someone like Hillman Racing with Landon Castle. I mean, if they have the capabilities and the sponsorship, that's another opportunity where we could see employees go there elsewhere. But I think that's the underlying picture is that we keep forgetting that Aaron says that they're going to be committed to the sport next year. And if they're committed as much as they've been committed over the last several years, then I think that could be a big missing piece of the puzzle.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting, Chris.
Yeah, it is.
Go ahead, Steve.
That's definitely an interesting point. I hadn't really thought about that, but I kind of could see maybe like a BK doing something like that, and that's a very good point.
Okay, anything more that you want to add to that, Chris? Because I want to talk a little bit about the penalties that NASCAR is talking about here, too.
Yeah, I'm hearing through the grapevine that this all franchising thing is going to break open here within the next probably 30 to 90 days. And if that does happen, I think that it's going to prove volatile where we'll see maybe some current owners – extend it and maybe
I'm thinking the off season we're going to hear a lot about that.
Yeah, but I think is the off season too late?
It could be. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff that has to be put in place, and you're right. That seems like a short turnaround for something as big as a franchising change.
I just wonder. Here's my thing. We'll see what happens with the franchising deal. But it's a good question with you guys before we can move on to the other topic. Do you guys think that the sport is still does the sport still have incentive to bring on new owners?
Steve, you want to go first?
I don't know. I mean, that's really a tough question. I think finding people with pockets deep enough to really be competitive, even as a franchisee. I mean, I'm not sure there's people out there beating the door down to get into NASCAR because, you know, it's an expensive game.
Absolutely. I definitely think that we've been seeing these signs coming for some time. This isn't something that just kind of came out of the blue. And it is tough for a small team. And we've seen evidence of just how tough it is for a small team to be successful. We've seen teams shut down this season because they don't have the sponsorship that they need to continue racing. So, go ahead, Chris.
I agree with you. Yeah,
we can't.
Go ahead. I agree with you. You think of somebody like, what was his name?
Viva.
I know the team name.
Jamie Dick.
I'm thinking of somebody like Swan Racing. Who
okay.
Really came in and really thought that they were going to be able to. Brandon Davis was his name. Brandon Davis.
Okay.
The owner at Swan Racing, where he really started off. You know, that was David Stremme's team, and he kind of built into an investment deal and really kept building that program up. And then he did pretty good with one car deal, and then they expanded to two cars this season. And before we – or two cars last season or, you know, the beginning of this season, actually, I think it was two cars this season. And before we knew it, it was gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, same thing with Viva Motorsports. I mean, it's a small team operation. They could only go so far, and they had to close their doors. So,
well, the good thing about Viva, though, is that the Godovics were able to buy into that program, and the Godovics are building. The Godovics are building a platform where Brandon Godovic and whoever will have a home in 2016. So that's a good thing.
So, but at the same time, I do think that the time has come for NASCAR to seriously consider some other options. And franchising, quite honestly, is a viable option to consider. Yeah. So it is going to be interesting to see where that takes us, if it's something that we're going to see as soon as the 2016 season, or are we talking 2017? I think it could be as soon as the 2016 season.
It's got to be the 2016 season. I mean, I think the sport needs it. And I mean, that's just my opinion. I mean, I could be dead wrong, but that's just my opinion.
Okay. Let me go ahead and get into these increased penalties for wheels and ballast that have been falling off the cars. NASCAR, of course, is citing the safety as the reason for why they are looking at instituting a four-race suspension for cars that lose their tires and ballast during the races. And they're talking about the crew chief, the car chief, the head engineer will receive a minimum four-race suspension for a ballast falling off the car. So what are you hearing there, Chris?
Well, I think that these penalties were not surprising, these updated penalties weren't surprising. I think many people expected it, and I think the penalties with the tires comes based upon what happened at Bristol Motor Speedway, where we saw, Sharon, it was an uncountable amount of drivers coming to pit road under green or under caution with loose wheels. Now, I think that we need to do our jobs and really stand to the point where when they're talking about loose wheels, that the, is my understanding from NASCAR, and I'll try to verify this weekend, that the wheels actually have to come off for those penalties to be assessed. It's not like when a driver says he has a loose wheel and he comes to pit road and they change tires before we have an issue. But I think what this is meant to do is this is meant to put all the teams back on the safety priority where they five lug nuts on, five lug nuts off. I think that this is a this is meant in the evidence of safety in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think it's necessary for NASCAR to take it to the next level for safety reasons. And my understanding, just from what I'm reading here, is that it's when the tire falls off. If the tire falls off, you're talking a four-race suspension for those crew members. So they're going to have to take the time to make sure that those tires are secure on the car. Okay. I wanted to get your thoughts. We talked about a little bit leading into the Sprint Cup Series. We're down to the last 5 minutes of the show here, Chris. I wanted to get your thoughts about the 2016 rule package at Darlington. They're running the low downforce package, the same package that was run at Kentucky and received high marks. Your thoughts about running that package here at Darlington this weekend?
It's kind of hard to say. You can't have a Kentucky at Darlington because they're two different types of track, and both tracks have different characteristics. However, if the track is slick and the cars are back where this lower downforce package seemed to put the driver back on his game, if you will, where the driver had to be really fighting the car and doing everything he can to make sure he can manhandle it, I think we're going in the right direction. I honestly think, and I don't have any evidence or any confirmation of this, but I honestly think in 2016 we'll see when we go to different tracks, we'll have a different rules package for each track. So short track will have this rules package, a super speed will have this rules package, an intermediate track will have this package. And I think by doing so, I don't think it'll cost the teams a whole lot, but by having a different package for each in different tracks, it'll provide the most opportunity to give fans heck of a race, and I think that's just where the sport's going, and that's the direction I feel like the sport needs to go.
I agree with you, and I want to get your thoughts too, Steve, on that, because I think it is something that we've been leading up to here.
Oh, I think that would be, I think that would be very good for the fans as well as the drivers and teams. I mean, that seems like a natural progression to me. I mean, they already do that with, you know, the Goodyear tires at each race. The compounds are slightly different, so I don't see why we wouldn't do that.
Absolutely, and I agree. I think that they have been doing that to a certain degree, as far as they can do that under the existing rules. They have a different car for the different types of racetracks that they bring to the track. And this just takes it to that next step to where NASCAR is getting involved. And there is a low downforce package for the tracks that need that. And they've got their super speedway package for the tracks that are super speedways and so on. So I think this is a good evolution for the sport. And I think, you know, it's hard to say that it's going to be exactly the same as it was at Kentucky. And that's part of the thing that we want to see this weekend is how this package works at Darlington Raceway. But I definitely think it's a move in the right direction, and I agree with you that this is what we're going to see in 2016 more of. So, okay. Again, we're down to the last few minutes of the show. I want to go around the table here, and let's talk about what you're working on. And your social media handles. I know we've got some articles coming in from you, Steve, real soon here.
Yep. Well, what I'm working on, I'm going to write a piece about Darlington, kind of doing the research of late, and I will probably get that to you within the next day or two, and that'll be on the Fan for Racing site. And my social media handle would be at Steve on the Grid. That's my Twitter, and my Facebook is the same. So if you want to like me or follow me, I would love that. So thanks.
Okay. And Chris, I know you were on your way to Darlington. Did you arrive safely? And talk a little bit
about
that.
Yeah,
okay,
I'm in Sumter, South Carolina, and I am here all weekend for coverage for this weekend's events at Darlington Raceway, kind of a throwback weekend. So, you know, just glad to be able to come this weekend. I know it was sure if I was going to be able to, but I'm going to fight through it and be here. So be able to follow me online at Niter01. Obviously, I'll be doing the best I can to bring everybody what they want to do. I want to do something real quick, Sharon, on the show while we're still on the air. Kind of some breaking news, if you will. Report this with you guys before we go anywhere. But I kind of hinted yesterday that Parker Klingerman will be returning to the NASCAR world this weekend behind the wheel. And I expect it to be announced in the morning, but I'll break it here first. I expect Parker to be in the 97 for a biker racing this weekend in NASCAR Xfinity Series competition.
That is awesome news. So yes, Parker Klingerman, we've seen him on NBCSN on NASCAR America. It's going to be great to see him back behind the wheel. Yeah. And I'm really excited about that. I also want to mention that our show next Monday has been moved to Tuesday night. We will be on at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Tuesday, September the 8th, including our NASCAR Hot Topic Sound-Off, which starts at 10 p.m. on Tuesday night. And joining us also is going to be our other Fan for Racing writer, Brian Eberle, for that show, as well as Sal Segala for our fan-to-fan NASCAR and Race Talk segment. So just mark your calendars. We are off on Monday, but we will be right back here on the airwaves on Tuesday, September the 8th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So with that, unless you have something more you need to say.
Well, I'll be on Tuesday for sure, and next Thursday I'll be at Richmond covering the K&N race, so I may be able to call in with an update from there, but I'll be there Thursday covering the race.
Okay, and of course Stephen Dando will be with us next Thursday, as he was this Thursday for our NASCAR weekend preview. And then we always look forward to Chris Knight calling in sometime during the show. So we certainly hope you're able to do that from Richmond, Chris. And then we will see you at Chicagoland.
Yes, I was working on that tonight. So as of right now, I'll be there.
Okay. Awesome news.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and close out the show, and I wish you the very best. And, Chris, take care of yourself. We need to keep you healthy and well. And, Stephen, I hope you have a great race weekend, and we'll talk to you on the other side.
Yep, likewise.
See you next Tuesday.
Okay, take care, guys.
Bye.
Bye.